Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Ray McTierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan on this Monday morning. Couple things to just clean up from the first hour of BT before we get into the wild card weekend. Number one, I said Terry Bradshaw came up with that idea about Mike McCarthy for Mike Tomlin swap. It was Jimmy Johnson
actually, said that, yeah.
Yeah, who said that they were maybe both stale, maybe they swapped, McCarthy being from Pittsburgh. That's number one.
But Bradshaw's been very critical of Mike over the years, yep.
Of course, being the former Steelers quarterback there, he's familiar with the workings of not only the organization, but the fan base. And then Marash texted us saying Bruce Arians was an offensive coach under Tomlin. And I was just reading a little bit about how he got let go in 2011, which kind of changed everything. Arians was ticked off. Tomlin basically said, I can't get you a contract, can't get you the money, whatever it was. And then Pagano called and Arians went with the Colts and the rest is history, Super Bowl winning history for Bruce Arians. But he did have a good head coach there. They just let him go. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing for the
Sounds
Mike Tomlin.
More bad.
Yeah, right. I would think so. I think Marash was trying to make the case, how's that for a coaching tree? But they let him go in Pittsburgh with Bruce Arians. The road to New Orleans on the Fan is sponsored by Bet365. And it was wild card weekend. We still have a game tonight, which I'm looking forward to. It stinks. Certainly the circumstances of why the game had to get moved. It's horrible to think what's going on still in Los Angeles with the wildfires. But as far as the game goes, it will be being played in Arizona, Rams, and the Vikings tonight. But BT, I mean, those games were outside of last night, which was a fantastic game with
fun.
The Bucks in Washington. It was a dead weekend with these games.
Lame. And it really mirrors the season. The season's been just boring. And yeah, I know it's amplified because locally we have nothing to latch on to. It's all anger and apathy and you know, going back and forth between those two very different emotions. But no, it was a very, very boring slate. You know, it started out kind of interesting, the Chargers getting out in front of the Texans, and then that was over before you blinked. They waxed them. Forget about the final score. The Ravens absolutely squashed the Steelers. They led 21-0 at the half. You know, the Bills, I want to get back to the Bills-Broncos in a minute, 31-7, you know, the score. So that obviously got off the rails. Eagles-Green Bay was boring, and you mentioned last, and the Green Bay Packers got absolutely ravaged by injuries. I mean, you look up, receivers getting carted off, offensive linemen getting carted off. That was absolutely brutal. The thing, though, and I know you want some money with this, and you were riding the Bills on the show as well, so good job by you.
It was just my best bet of the weekend. I felt good about that one.
Good job by you. I thought the spread, 8.5, that was very, very generous for a great coach in Peyton and a very polished rookie quarterback in Bo Nix. The thing about that game is, now, if you didn't watch it, all right, you know, 31-7, it was over before it started. Well, not really, because obviously you saw the Broncos jump up early on that bomb from Bo Nix. They had a fake punt, which they executed on a 20-yard pass, but they didn't do anything. They wound up punting after that. And I know that this will get lost in the details of the game. There were two, and I actually think three, but certainly two, when the game was still a one score, like 3.7 points, where the Broncos dropped easy first down passes, chunk plays, like 20, 22 yards. I'm not saying that they would have won the game, but the Broncos came to play. Now, they couldn't possess the football. The Bills just hammered them by 25 minutes in terms of time of possession. But even though that game was really ugly at the end, there were some chunks early where a little break here or there, the Broncos could have hung around for four quarters. I actually believe that.
Which is why maybe for the Bills this year it could be different, because they could run the football. When you could run the football, and they did on a good Broncos defense, control the time of possession. It's the number one thing Peyton talked about coming out before half or
he
coming
said
out
that.
At halftime.
Yeah, he did.
We got to have ball control here. And how, you're right, like Peyton, man, just watching him. He's just a genius.
Love
that
him.
First drive, taking shots down the field, set the tone. It was the right formula and game plan to win a playoff game on the road. They just didn't have the proper execution to go along with it. And the Bills are just better than Denver. But Bo Nix airing out that first drive, the fake punt call. It was a fun game to watch, especially if you're betting on it. And that was going to lead me to the next point. Like, okay, the games weren't great. Like, Saturday, not great with the Texans and the Chargers. Saturday night game, not great with the Ravens dominating, even though it was a 14-point game.
Yeah, but it's 21-zip at the half.
Yeah, it was. It felt non-competitive.
Yep.
But if you factor in the spreads, and, like, that's what we do here, right? Whether it's picking the games, betting the games, however much you bet.
Yep.
Like, doesn't that make it, even if whatever, the same game parlay, whatever it is that you're doing, that makes these games more watchable or more entertaining, so you could kind of get away with the fact that they weren't great games. I was really into last night's game, aside from any bet, because it was an exciting game. I thought Tarico was terrific.
That was good. That was fun.
The energy was great. It was a fun game. You wish that they were all like that, but even without them being like that, because of the bets or the picks, and even thinking of it like, oh, well, can the Steelers cover here for my pick on the show? Like, the NFL is king because of the gambling aspect, no?
Yes, but not enough to hang your hat on that forever. I think, really, that's why the first thing I said about the wild card slate, and listen, it happened last year as well. You get some wild card, usually gets a little more competitive as you get deeper into it. But, you know, I just think this was a very non-competitive season during the regular season. How many what were there, like 10 or 11 teams that won 5 games or less? I mean, there's just some bad teams out there.
How about the idea of an expanded postseason leading to the struggles on wild card week, and you get the extra game?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Here's the thing, though. In theory, it really should have been a great slate because you have Jim Harbaugh. Just think about this in chronology, like in chronological manner here. You have Jim Harbaugh back. You have a, not great, but a really good young quarterback in Herbert. You have a really good young quarterback on the other side in Stroud. So there should have been juice. The game was terrible.
I mean, the Texans played well.
No, I know they did, but the game was boring outside of the early start where the Chargers had a 6-0 lead, whatever it was. You know, then the Ravens, Steelers, oh, rivalry and Lamar and try to prove his dissenters wrong and this and that. 21-zip at the half, boring. All right, I gave you some details where the Bills and the Broncos could have been tighter, but at the end of the day, 31-7, you know, the Eagles, the fabled Packers, Jordan Love, the real deal. I mean, that was a boring game. There was just no offense. It was boring. And then last night, who the hell thought the Commanders and the Bucks would supply the juice?
Man, not
the
me.
Me neither. The NFL, that was my least of all the
games.
The NFL, Sal, and I don't think I'm alone, and I do admit it has been influenced by the Jets and the Giants decade outside of 2022 for the Giants. They're non-competitive teams year after year, but the NFL just doesn't feel the same to me anymore. It just doesn't.
See, I do think it's not
even
the same.
Even with betting.
Yeah, it's not the same. That's number one. The quality of play. We talk about this every year going in. They didn't even play in preseason, so basically the first 3-4, maybe even 5-6 weeks are essentially preseason. And by the time you get going in the season, you know, you have these teams, hey, guys injured, whatever it may be. Quarterback play is at an all-time low, potentially, with the way that these guys are developed, just thrown right to the wolves. But the expanded postseason, specifically for Wild Card Weekend, if you eliminate the 2-7 matchups, and this year in the NFC, there was a good one with the Eagles and the Packers. But in reality, the Eagles should have had a bye. And the Packers, tough luck, but you shouldn't have been in. and same thing in the other way. Like, Broncos had a great season, get in. But 2-7, you wouldn't have had that game.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that changes things where you eliminate the extra game and the extra. You know, even the Steelers, like, they had a good regular season, sure, to get in. But they didn't really belong on the field with the Ravens. We all knew that most likely going in.
I mean, there's some validity to what you just presented. I think that's a pretty interesting way to look at it. By stretching the parameters of the postseason, you're going to have a team that, and I don't want to say they don't deserve to be there, but maybe more susceptible to some clinkers.
And,
but
yeah, and they're playing a team that should have a bye in the old format. The top two, you know what I mean?
That's why I say it's a good point. But again, if it didn't mirror what I watched for 5 months, I would be more with you. You raise a good point, but this season was brutal.
Yeah, I think this coming.
I don't know. I don't think I'm alone with this.
I mean, I don't
season
know.
Season sucked.
Are we going to get
even
every...
the Chiefs who won 15 games? They were boring.
That is true.
Think about this.
That's true. I mean, Lamar was great. There are certain individual performances that are great, and certain teams play well. But even the Ravens, you know, they probably should have been a two seed in the AFC. You know, I mean, Bills Ravens is going to be a great matchup this weekend.
Yes.
You look at see, division round is where you start to me, get now down to it. You're trimming the fat, and you should have the best teams left. Like, all right, Texans, Chiefs. I still think if the Texans play defense the way that they did against the Chargers, they could be competitive maybe against a lesser version of the Chiefs team. Even though they don't lose, they still seem vulnerable. But
well, they've had some injuries. Some receivers, their own lines banged up, gives up a lot of sacks.
But maybe that's the one game going in that you look at and say, and look, Detroit, Washington, who knows? I mean, on paper, I don't even know what the spreads are on this game, but thinking, all right, should Detroit should blow Washington away here? I don't know. Jaden Daniels and Washington, they can move the football.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. But then you look at the Sunday games, they look great on paper. I think divisional round, it really... And then Championship Sunday, of course. But you're getting down to the final, you know, 5-6 games of the year.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be unfair to the NFL, because if we were to jump into the NBA, how many 1-8 matchups are fun?
They're
not. I mean, this is the equivalent, basically, of a 1-8 matchup. The difference, but I think what's striking to me really jumps out is that even though I love the NBA, finally, Knicks show a little gumption last night. We'll get to that a little later. Knicks had a rough stretch before yesterday. Nobody cares about the NBA regular season. So when you have a very uneven first round, it's like, all right, now wake me up as we start getting to the semis and beyond. Whereas everybody tells me how great the NFL is and that it runs the show, yet the NFL regular season stinks.
Well, I guess that's my point, right? Is that what do we want? Of the six games, every one's got to be a tight game like last night? You're not going to get that.
No, I think I'd be better if... I think my gripe is that what I watched this weekend, it's not much of a change from what I watched for 4.5 months. That's a big investment to watch a lot of bad football.
The quality
that's all
of
I'm
play.
Saying.
Yep, I got you. BT and Sal on the fan. The road to New Orleans on the fan is sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Let's get back to the calls. We started the show talking about Mike Tomlin and his chances of leaving Pittsburgh, maybe for the Jets. Jim is in on the Jersey Shore. What's up, Jim?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jim.
So I've been a Steelers fan 40 years. Here's my take. The Steelers are the cheapest, most frugal organization in maybe all of sports since Sinden's Bruins. So they will not ever spend money. Their coaching, they will not spend on their coaching. Never. If you look at Tom in 18 years, you would think he would have some kind of coaching tree out there. Nobody.
Yeah.
They hired high school coaches. They had to hire Smith this year. And if you notice, their philosophy, they still believe to run the ball to pass. And that's just not the way today's game is. When they hired this guy Arthur Smith, he coached Derrick Henry. They figured they could turn Najee into Derrick Henry. Not happening. They will not change their philosophy. They had Le'Veon Bell. That team was on the cusp of winning Super Bowls. They wouldn't pay Le'Veon Bell. They just won't do it. They're cheap.
I think your best point there, Jim, and thank you for the call and for the insight. I think, BT, the best point there was that they're still in the 80s or 90s as far as the philosophy offensively where they run the ball to throw it, which I like in theory.
Yeah.
And I think can be good to winning games. You see it every regular season. But once you start taking on the upper echelon teams in the postseason, the way that the sport has gone, it's kind of the opposite. And I know Baltimore could run the football and the Bills could run the football, but they do that with also, especially in the Bills' case, an elite passing game.
Oh, my God, yeah. I think there's something to be said for that. It's a bit of an antiquated style. I haven't seen a great amount of adaptability from Tomlin. I've seen a lot of wide receivers, talented ones, to the caller's point about how they're cheap. You know, think about this. I mean, we could rattle off 5 or 6 receivers that were very promising, if not great, early with the Steelers, and they elected to let him leave. Now, a lot of those decisions worked out because then they would find the next receiver, and he would be, you know, and they would save money and kind of disperse it elsewhere. I don't know. If I'm a Steelers fan right now, I'm not thinking Tomlin's getting me to a Super Bowl. Why would I? Where's the evidence?
Well, I mean, he did it before.
He also did it, you know.
Twice.
18 years ago.
I get it.
And I'm not trying to take that off his resume. Now, I think Mike Tomlin is a, He's a leader of men. I know that that's cliche at this point, but I just don't think that they're following him in Pittsburgh the way they used to. I think the message is getting a little stale.
Here's the advice that I would have for Steelers fans, and we've heard from a lot of them today, even though we're talking, obviously, the Jets angle with potentially Mike Tomlin. And I have an update on some head coaching stuff I'm going to give in a second here. The Schefter tweeted something out. But what I would say is they're in it, right? We're on the outside looking at what's going on with the Steelers and all the success that Tomlin has had in 18 years, winning a Super Bowl, getting to another one, never had a losing season. Do you know how many fan bases would kill to have that?
Mm-hmm.
So just be careful, because if you do move on from Tomlin, now you're coming back down to earth with us, with the rest of us here. And the odds of you ever replacing that sustained success are minimal. When you try to hire somebody else and see what happens, you may win a Super Bowl, sure, whatever. You may go to the postseason and get back to a Super Bowl, whatever it may be in the short term, maybe even down the road at some point. But the consistency that you have had for the last 40, 50, or whatever it's been, with Noel, the Coward, and Tomlin, when you blow that up and break that mold,
yep.
Now you're coming back down to earth with everybody else.
You can become the Browns real quick.
Yeah, right.
Understood.
Look at the Giants.
Yeah, I know. But the Giants were never the Steelers.
Agreed, BT, but they did have that even keel, like the stability. But they won two Super Bowls with Coughlin. They thought they could do better moving on. They thought it was time to move on from Coughlin. And since then, they've been chasing their tails.
I understand. I get it. I mean, actually, I think I'm the perfect one to give you an opinion on this, because in a lot of ways, the Steelers and the Yankees are very similar. You know, the fans expect them to win. They both haven't won in a long time. And, you know, it may be wrong, even though I think he's acquitted himself well this offseason. I love what Cashman's done, and I like Brian. I'm on the record. I would have gotten rid of Brian Cashman. So what I'm saying about the Steelers, I've been saying about the Yankees.
Right. It is different, though, with the salary cap or lack thereof in baseball, also GM versus head coach.
True. I'm not saying it's apples to apples.
If this were Joe Torre, I'd be saying the same thing.
Yeah, like, think about it. Joe only won one.
Yeah.
All right, so he won with Bucks guys, even though Buck didn't win. So you want to say Tomlin won with Cowers guys who did win, but just say Buck won one. Joe won in 96, and that was it.
Yeah.
And, you know, 97, 98, 99, instead of, you know, winning, even though they didn't win in 97, you know, they made the playoffs and they got bounced in the first round. That's basically the equivalent there.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that all of us Yankee fans would have been saying, hey, we love Joe. Joe's from Marine Park. Joe's from Brooklyn. Joe's one of us, but Joe got to go. I mean, I don't mean after 3 or 4 years. You know, I don't mean after 3 or 4 years. Well, Joe Walton, that was Joe Must Go. That was the Jets angle. Think about this. I know I would have been saying after a while, it's stale. All right, he won. I love him. He gave me my first championship. I was too young to remember 77 and to really live through it. But if Joe Torre was here for 18 years and he won in year two or year one, and then he didn't win again, I'd be saying Joe Torre's got to get fired.
All right, BT. So Adam Schefter tweeting out just moments ago, with the Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy eligible to talk to other teams after midnight on Tuesday, assuming that's when his contract expires.
Yeah.
There still haven't been any negotiations on a new deal with Dallas. This, according to Schefter's sources, it's now looking like McCarthy will indeed become a head coaching free agent.
Oh.
With Chicago and New Orleans both expected to be interested in speaking with him.
Why wouldn't the Jets speak to him? That's why. Come on, Jets. This is what I'm saying. Speak to everybody.
I mean,
To a guy who doesn't win at Maryland? You're not going to call up Mike McCarthy? See if he's interested in coaching the Jets? See if he's interested in reuniting with Aaron Rodgers? That's the dumbest thing I've heard. They have to call McCarthy.
Yeah, now that is...
At least call him.
Tomlin may be... Tomlin's a dream, obviously, a ridiculous... We don't know how available he's going to... If the Steelers are going to make him available, if he would accept the trade to the Jets, McCarthy's going to be available.
Yes.
He's won a Super Bowl, and he's done a nice job with Dallas here. I mean, how could the Jets not go hard after him?
I don't have an answer for that. Doesn't mean Schefter's 100% right that, what do you say, the Saints and the Bears?
Yeah, at least the two. Now, maybe if the Jets find out that he's officially going to be available, maybe they... But to me, you should be banging the desk. Hey, go get him.
Or at least talk to him.
Yeah.
No, you have to have a real serious interview with him. You must.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Continuing with your calls here, 888-808-1019. Started the show talking about Mike Tomlin and the possible availability of Tomlin from Pittsburgh, with the thoughts of him maybe being the next head coach for the NYJ. Mike McCarthy seems like his contract is going to expire after midnight tomorrow night, so maybe he can get his name involved here, BT. Now, he's going to have his pick. It seems that he's associated most prominently with Chicago and New Orleans. But, I mean, once his contract expires, if the Jets don't at the very least inquire I'm not sure what they're doing. To your point before, like they're interviewing everybody. Why not Mike McCarthy?
Be malpractice. And just from like if I'm thinking like what fan base would be the most revved up with a Mike McCarthy hire, it would have to be Chicago to me. Because think about this. If you're a Bears fan who hasn't won in forever, you know, you watched Aaron Rodgers and McCarthy beat up on you forever. You watched him win a Super Bowl with Green Bay. Like, to me, that seems like the logical hire. I don't necessarily know that McCarthy, it doesn't feel like McCarthy and the Jets would be a good match. I just doesn't feel like, I don't know. I can't even really tell you why. I just look at certain people. I don't think McCarthy fits here. I just don't. But I feel like he fits in Chicago.
Yeah, I could see that. I still would like to see McCarthy. And maybe then we have the rumors of a McCarthy-Rodgers reunion here.
Well, you make the call. There's no doubt you make the call. What do you think if this was, that doesn't matter because it's not last year, but if this was last year, because you and I were both saying the Jets should not have brought back Robert Saleh last year.
Right.
If this is 1 year ago and there's all this optimism over the Jets, not where we are now, and Rodgers is fully rehabbed, coming off the 1 year where he got hurt, of course, week one against Buffalo, and he's going into year two instead of potentially going into year three, and this happened to McCarthy, don't you think that Woody would be much more motivated for a McCarthy-Rodgers reunion/union than now?
I would think so. But maybe back then he would ask Rodgers what he would want, and then it would be up to Rodgers. And I would think that they would be okay with it. Rodgers right now, though, I think, BT, now again, I don't know this, but based on the way things have gone, based on watching the Enigma doc, I would bet that right now Rodgers would love to have Mike McCarthy come coach the Jets and have his shot at a reunion.
After the JV coaching that he's been exposed to here, he's probably saying even if McCarthy's got some faults, geez, he's like Lombardi and Parcells rolled into one.
He's one of those be careful what you wish for things, right? Ah, McCarthy, I don't know. Now he's like, hey, Mike, I need you back.
Yes.
Let's go win that Super Bowl again, buddy. By the way, I'm fascinated by the musical chairs with the head coach now, because not only could McCarthy become available, but then that creates another opening in Dallas, which is a pretty prominent one that we all thought, you know, midseason last year, Belichick's going to go to Dallas, right? Mm-hmm. McCarthy's going to be out. They're going to fail. Belichick's going to go to Dallas. Well, that's not the case now, but now you have the Dallas Cowboys, a prominent opening potentially if McCarthy's contract expires.
Why can't Belichick bounce from UNC? It's in his contract. Well, you just have to pay $10 million.
Did you see, what's his name? Who's the GM that he had there? Mike Lombardi?
Yeah.
Okay, in North Carolina?
Yes, he came out.
I thought it was last week, and basically said that all the rumors about him going to Vegas were flat out false.
Well, listen, I think you've got to do this for a couple of, and that might be the case, but, you know, he's trying to build a roster there. I know he just got a 4-star recruit.
Yeah,
you know, who's transferring from, I forget where he's transferring from, but they're going to give him a few $1 million. He's going to come quarterback to Tar Heels. So until Belichick, and I don't think he's going to bounce, but if he was presented with a great opportunity, I think that he would. And contractually, it's only $10 million, which is fairly light for a buyout if you believe that Belichick is still Belichick. And I think some teams do, including maybe the Dallas Cowboys. But in the meantime, you got to at least build a roster. So anything you put out there for public consumption, don't you think it behooves the North Carolina, you know, program, just in case he does stay there, so he could have a team if he does stay?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine if he ever left, though, everybody there is because of him.
I know.
I'd ultimately be surprised. I know what you're saying. I'd be surprised.
I would, too.
If Bill left at this point. Right, let's get back to the calls here. 888-808-1019. We're talking Mike Tomlin. Mark is in Clark. What's up, Mark?
Guys, good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, bud? How you doing, Mark?
Good. Just wanted to talk about Tomlin with the potential to the Jets. Mm-hmm. DT, I agree with you. It's time for a change in Pittsburgh. Sal, I understand what you're saying about longevity of the coaches there, winning records, the whole nine yards. But I just feel like his voice there has gone stale. He looks disinterested on the sideline. He did yesterday. I understand it's because of injuries, poor quarterback play. But Tomlin to the Jets, him being a run-first head coach, he's got a lot more talent with the Jets right now than he would with the Pittsburgh Steelers from a running perspective. And in my opinion, any head coach candidate right now that's out there could go into Pittsburgh and do exactly what he's doing right now. I know that's not the ultimate goal. I know the goal is to win the division, go to the AFC championship game. But there's three or four head coach candidates that can get this team to a 9-8 or 10-7 record and get into a wild card spot.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
And I think you're minimizing Tomlin. I mean, the guy's had a losing season in 18 years. Where are the coaches who have done that, period? Show me that. Not one losing season? Now, they might be out there. I haven't heard of them. Not one losing season in 18 years, and then it's just like, anybody could go into Pittsburgh and do what he's done. Now, I get that you want to take it to the next level, and I do agree that the Jets would be an appealing spot as far as the talent goes, and I'd love to see him come in here and run the football. That, to me, is where it should all, the foundation should build off of that, any good team. Ball control, run the football, and then throw it and make explosive plays through the air. Also have good defense. So, to me, that's why, BT, it's more on the talent in Pittsburgh than the coach, but let's not make it like any coach could roll in there and have the winning seasons that Tomlin has.
That's unfair. That is unfair. I would agree. It's just, that's getting old. It's like, we know the stat, you know, I get it. You know, really, what Mike Tomlin's become, I'll give you a baseball analogy, he's a five-inning pitcher, give up a couple of the runs, give you a chance to win the game, but ultimately doesn't.
I mean, I just look at it differently. It's hard to make the postseason in the NFL.
I know.
You should know. I know. Anybody. Like, we all know as sports fans, it's mostly misery. But my God, Jets and Giants here, they both stink. You'd be killing for Mike Tomlin. And you were expecting the Steelers, who have him, to let him leave because it's gotten stale. I'm not saying that things don't get stale. But I try to think of where they would go after Tomlin. Like, it's easier to just sit here and say, hey, they got to get to another level. It's gotten stale. It's been 18 years. Thank you, but we're moving on.
Yep.
Okay, now what? What's life like?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Arthur Smith is revered in that building. It seems like an unconventional move from Tomlin to him. I don't know. I don't love Arthur Smith. You know that.
I think he's a good head coach. But
yeah, I mean, you think he's better than I do. I don't think he's terrible. I don't think he's great. I think he's okay. But he might bum. I mean, they might become a 5-12 team for a year or two under Arthur Smith. I don't know. All I'm saying is my barometer. You're right. When you juxtapose his success and place that in front of me as a Jet fan or any Jet fan or the Giants fans right now, it's incredibly appealing. But I thought that their barometer was different. Their measurement of success, I thought, was higher than ours.
Okay, so then...
And apparently not if they just keep rolling it back.
Well, then let's tie in the Yankees to the conversations we did earlier with Cashman. Even though it's different sports and different financial setups and salary caps and all that stuff, is it fair to then take any organization like the Yankees or the Steelers and poo-poo their sustained success, which is remarkable when you consider the landscape of sports? It's not just Yankees to Mets or Steelers to Jets and Giants. Think about all sports, all teams. What the Yankees have done for the last 30 years is nothing short of remarkable. And yet, a lot of us, myself included, say, but you have won a World Series since 2009. What the Steelers and Tomlin have done for 18 years straight, which is just, it's unfathomable for me as a football fan to think that there's a team out there that hasn't had a losing season in 18 years. Oh, by the way, included two Super Bowl appearances, and he won one of them. And that's not good enough because it's gotten stale. Yeah, 10-7, great postseason. 10-7, great postseason. But it's not good enough. I don't think that that's the right mentality. I still think you'd rather just have those sustained successful seasons and eventually hope to break through.
Okay. I think that there's a big difference between the concept of what you just presented and then the application of what you just presented.
Okay.
If we're sitting around at a bar and we're just shooting the breeze talking sports and you say to me, dude, wouldn't you love to have a coach of whatever team? Not necessarily me, Jets. Like just anybody. Wouldn't you sign up for a coach that has 18 straight non-losing seasons? My answer is going to be yes, because in my mind I'm saying, geez, if we go 18 straight two decades without having a losing season, I'm going to have multiple Super Bowls. That's the concept. The application of that is, then you watch that. And you watch them give up 40-plus points in three straight playoff games, which they have. And you watch an offense that seems like it's two decades stuck in the like with the cavemen. It's just antiquated. And it's not nearly as appealing. Like, yes, the thought of being relevant, where we're just sitting around, just shooting the breeze, hell yeah, sign me up for that. But when you live through it from a Steelers perspective and you just see them getting further and further away from the Super Bowl, it's not as appealing as it was in the bar.
Okay, so what you're saying or what we're saying a lot of times as sports fans is change and hope are greater than results. Because there's
depends on the situation. I can't wedge it in there, right, but depends on the situation.
Right, but the ultimate goal for every sports fan and every organization, I would hope, is, although it's not that necessarily the case, but sports fan for sure, is to win championships, multiple championships. That is not something that you can plan to do. Even the Dodgers or the Yankees or whoever pick the teams, like, it's hard to do that. What the Chiefs are doing right now is so special because we haven't seen it in a very long time. What New England did is special because we haven't seen that and probably won't see it again for another however many years. Like, those are so rare. What the Yankees did in the 90s, it's so rare, and you hold them to the highest of standards. But the change and hope of, okay, well, maybe this new group can get to a Super Bowl instead of this head coach won a Super Bowl, got to another one, hasn't had a losing season in 18 years. Think about what the Giants have done in the last 18 years, which includes, by the way, two Super Bowl wins. Would you rather have the two Super Bowl wins for the Giants and their record, or would you rather have the Steelers? And I would say that both have been successful because they had the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. But if that's all that we're chasing, then you're going to fail more often than not, because even the Giants, who have been as bad as you can be for the last almost 10 years,
yep,
still over the last 18 have two Super Bowl wins.
Well, I mean, again, it's on the measurement. If it's on the measurement of the ultimate accomplishment, then I would say I'd rather have the Giants.
Okay. Well, then, and year to year, you're going to then pay for it sometimes.
You're going to be checked out year to year. I mean, I get it. It's not an easy, I get it. It's very, very tricky.
It's an interesting, like, you think about, yeah, Super Bowl, and we're not winning enough in the postseason, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but, like, you got to.
I understand.
You got to be able to get there.
I get it.
He gets there every year. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019. I heard Boomer and Geo this morning, BT. I was up earlier today, so I heard a little bit more of them than I normally do on my ride in. And they were talking about A.J. Brown, who you saw, I'm sure, on the sideline during the Eagles and Packers game reading a book. And then Jalen Hurts afterwards said, like, everybody does different things to feel their flow or get in their flow. And then Boomer and Geo started talking about what they do to get in the flow of things for, I guess, each individual day. Do you have something? How do you get in your flow every day?
Oh, man. I heard some of that, too, and I was thinking, you know, it's funny. You could probably relate to this, though not to the extent that I do, because I could just tell, and you'll see what I mean. I'm neurotic with shaving my head.
Mm.
Like, if I feel sloppy, and also kind of outlining the beard a little bit, like, if I just don't have my mojo, and now I could always say a cup of coffee helps as well. Like, yeah. I love, you know, getting up early on a weekend and having an hour or so in my office before the kids start acting like lunatics and having a cup of coffee and reading. But if I just don't think I'm in a rhythm, like shaving the head, and I've got to do it every 2 days. Otherwise, I feel sloppy.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, man. And too many times, actually, for me, it's
is that yours? That's the same thing?
Yeah, well, yes, it was good. For me, it starts with the night before, okay?
All right.
If you don't, and really it starts with working out and eating,
100%,
right?
100%. I could have said that too. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. But the night before, right? Like, I think yesterday I stopped eating at, say, 3 o'clock.
Well, that's early.
For whatever reason. Yeah, I was having, like, Ritz, and not even Ritz crackers, but whatever, crackers and cheese and a little bit of meats and things like that as I'm watching the game, stress eating away my Bills bet. The Broncos score the touchdown. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm texting Costas, like, we're dead. Anyway, so then, like, I just was full the rest of the day. And then before I knew it, I looked up. It was 8 o'clock. And I'm like, I don't want to eat now because it's too late. My wife made turkey chili. I brought it today. But whatever. Point is, the night before, to me, sets the mood. So then I got a decent sleep. Felt good. Like, I wasn't overeating.
Okay.
Then you wake up and now clean shave.
Got to tighten it up.
Trim the beard.
Yeah.
And shave the head. Like, if you're not feeling fresh.
Yes.
And too many times I just go into the next day and it's like, I don't got time to shave. I'm being lazy. But my flow is off.
Well, listen, there are some guys who shave their heads just because they want to, and then there's others, like most of us do it because we kind of have to. Now, I think it depends what kind of, male pattern baldness you have.
Huh.
Honestly, like, to me, I used to joke around with Tiki. Tiki would do this once. I'm like, what are you doing? You look like George Jefferson. What are you doing? Like, he wouldn't shave the top, and the sides would be growing in a little bit. I'm like, dude, you are, and I say this with a smile, for somebody as vain as Tiki who wants to always look good, what the hell are you doing with the top of your head, man? Like, so
Teak's flow is skin tight pants.
Yes.
I mean, I can't even believe some of the jeans I see him fit into.
Dude, did you see the pair he had on the other day? It looked like he was going golfing in 1920, like the knickers.
They were up to his knees, up to his calves. My God, why even?
Where's
wear
the flood? What are you doing? So I don't get that. Like, to me, like, if you have now, it's one thing just if you have stubble all around your head. But if you just have it on the sides, that is a look I cannot do.
You're right. Like, I should be doing it every day. Hoff, you have something that you get into your flow with? How do you feel your flow every morning?
I just blast music, usually some sort of metal.
Okay. All right, that gets heavy you going metal, a little bit. Dove, you have something that I hesitate to ask this, but go ahead.
Music is great, but I got to tell you, Bible study is the best.
Oh, okay.
There's going to be a little early morning nookie for Dove.
Yeah.
No?
I mean, that used to be my flow. And then I get married. Yeah, this is, I mean... they were playing back the cut of me saying, did you hear this morning they were playing When You Got Mad, where Hoff was saying
yeah,
that you
by the way, I didn't mean to interrupt. I didn't get mad.
Yeah.
I was like perplexed because he called me, not naive,
gullible.
Which I've been called a lot of things. I've never been called gullible, so I pushed back. I wasn't mad at all.
I felt like we were in a cage. I felt like we were in a cage, and I heard that. I was like, oh. And it was like the lion maybe getting, take it easy.
Yeah.
No, but then.
Did you think I took that seriously? I didn't take that seriously.
I didn't know.
You actually thought I took that seriously?
I just...
You weren't sure?
I thought it was fine. I just wasn't...
No, did you think that I took that seriously? The gullible?
Yes. And then he kept laying it on, and then he, like, doubled down. Oh. That was the part... was the part that when he doubled down and said... I got you for the Papa Shango thing. I was like, oh, boy. All right.
That was reaching into the bag. He's got receipts.
But they also played the cut of me saying, I get laid or something like that. And, but they cut out the whole context. I was saying it as a joke to say that that was the case.
That you used to.
Yeah, exactly. Before I got married.
And they made it seem like you're getting laid every night by somebody different?
I was trying to prove a point.
Oh, I see.
They were talking about, like, you were, because you were, they were questioning your fashion.
Again?
No.
Oh, with the turtleneck?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, God.
You were saying that people on social media were questioning your fashion.
That's true.
And then remember, like you said, these virgins at home or whatever. So
By the way, you know what I did this weekend, amongst many things? I ordered three new turtlenecks. I swear to God.
What colors?
Like a gray, like a bluish, and a black.
You know who's big
in a salmon?
Not a salmon.
No, I don't really have a salmon jacket, so okay. Even though salmon would work with blue, but no salmon.
You know who's big into the turtlenecks is Taylor Mathis. I used to have, I sent you guys the picture, if you want to check it out on social media.
Oh, I saw that,
I used to have her on the overnights, and we did sports picks.
Yeah, you sent the picture, that's correct.
She's big into turtlenecks as
well. She looks better in the turtleneck.
Yeah, even BT said that.
Is she the one who does the walk?
Yeah. Walking bets or whatever.
Yes, I've seen it.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phones. To Mike Tomlin is the conversation.
No, if you never Rich answered the question. What's up, Richie?
Philadelphia. What's up, Rich? Hi, Rich.
Oh, Rich is not there.
Anthony's in the Bronx. What's up, Ant?
What are you guys doing? Okay. I'm thinking Spagnuolo all the way. He's got to be one of the best defensive coaches we've seen in the last 10 years.
Spagnuolo for the Jets?
For the Giants? For the Jets as our head coach.
No chance.
Why?
Come on.
Not interested.
Would all the other options? I mean,
you know that, you know, that's always been their, like, Achilles heel, the Kansas City defense. But he's always calling the right play at the right time.
He went 1-15. And he was 1-15. He was also 2-14. What are we doing?
Okay. Give the guy another chance.
No, let's say, years ago. And I am all about second chances. Let somebody else be the martyr. I'm done.
Yeah, you can't go. And I like Steve Spagnuolo.
Me too, as a coordinator.
Great guy.
Yeah,
terrific,
fantastic.
Coordinator, all-time great coordinator.
Great coordinator.
Giants and now with the Rams. With the Chiefs. But as the Rams head coach, it was an epic fail. Oh. And not to say that he couldn't get a second chance and be successful. There's no way that the Jets should hire Steve
Spagnuolo. I'll let somebody else conduct that experiment.
Yeah.
No chance.
Michael is in Brooklyn. What's up, Michael? Hey, Michael. What is going on with the phones here? Michael, you there?
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Too late. Connor is in Massapequa. Connor?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, here's my thing. I'm a longtime Jets Mets fan, so I know pain and misery very well. Mm-hmm. This Mike Tomlin talk from the Steelers is crazy. What Steelers fan would fire him? We would happily take him.
Oh, you see,
18 years of a winning record.
Mm. Here we go. I know,
you
Connor.
You got a Super Bowl. You're... Every Sunday you watch football, it's going to be a good time. As a Jets fan, what are we watching? We got Rex Ryan in the news talking about the head coaching job.
Who wants
that? It's poverty franchise material.
You kind of, but you're latching onto the wrong thing. With all due respect, buddy, you just are. You're ignoring the fact that they lost 42-19 a couple of years ago, and they gave up 48 points to the Browns, and they lost a couple of years ago, and they gave up 45 the year before to the Jaguars. I mean, and they lost. I mean, I see. You're looking at it the wrong way, and that's your opinion. I respect it. I'm not going to shout you down, but the barometer, like, you can't equivocate the two. Of course, the Steeler fan has had a much more enjoyable run than the Jet fan. It goes without saying. We all know that. But talk to the Steeler fan if they're happy with Mike Tomlin. The answer is no.
Right, but it doesn't mean that they're right.
I guess, I mean, but it's their opinion, but it doesn't mean the last caller was right.
No, it doesn't, but the record is what the record is. And think about it from, like, if you had Mike Tomlin here, and I get it, it's difficult to say, but if we had Mike Tomlin here, would we be yelling and screaming saying we need a change here?
I could promise you, if, because Herm had some good years, now he's not Mike Tomlin, I could promise you that if Mike Tomlin came here and had early success and then, you know, went on this drought that was borderline embarrassing at this point in terms of playoff shortcomings, I can't speak for anybody else but me. I'd be screaming.
Right, and then that's what I was saying, the change.
I really would.
Change and hope then is maybe for sports fans, a lot of sports fans, better than actual results. Because the only reason why Pittsburgh Steelers fans want Mike Tomlin out is because they believe that they should be winning playoff games and Super Bowls every single year, which is just not.
I would change the wording on that. I would say the reason why Steeler fans, those the percentage that that's ready to move on from Mike Tomlin, they no longer believe that he will get them to the Super Bowl. I know it's a little semantics,
but fair,
like, I think it's that direct. Don't view him as that guy,
right? But it's not based on anything because he did win a Super Bowl. Like, there have been great coaches that, Bill Cowher's an example, Andy Reid was an example.
Yeah,
look at all the Eagles fans who wanted Andy Reid out.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't get over the hump and win the Super Bowl. And now,
but at least he got to Super Bowls. He didn't lose in the first round every year like Tomlin's been. Look, I think the better example here is somebody like Doc Rivers in the NBA. Doc won a championship with the Celtics with Garnett and Pierce and a great, great bunch of Hall of Famers.
In 18 spots.
That's my point. But he's won regular season games. He just gets bumped and he collapses in the playoffs. It's actually kind of similar to Mike Tomlin. He won early. And now he's done nothing.
In multiple spots, though, Doc has failed. Tomlin has been in the same spot and has never once
had
a losing season. Well, I hesitate to bring it up, but I don't want to get you angry again like you got when Hoff said you were gullible.
I'm surprised that was hijacked. I mean, I was more annoyed this morning at Hoff in the meeting than I was on the air the other day with the gullible stuff. I swear to God, I was surprised.
All right.
That he called me gullible. Not angry at all. I swear to God.
Oh, no.
I was not angered at all.
I just didn't want to know. I didn't know where
this morning
where we're going
I was a little bit
it.
Angry.
Yeah, well, that I noticed. That'll diffuse that one as well. Yes. PT and Sal at the Fan will come back, reset, get you down with the king topic of the day. It has been the Jets head coaching search and how Mike Tomlin plays into that. We'll get to football. We'll get to some baseball as well a little bit later on. PT and Sal on the